And so that's what that's for. I pray that you take advantage of it. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse 20. And we'll read down a few verses and then we'll preach the rest of the chapter in some chapter 19. But if you would, in honor of God's Word, let's stand to our feet. And let's begin reading in verse 20 of chapter 18 of Genesis. Chapter 18 of Genesis and verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Very important question. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank you for the reading of God's Word. We thank you for the songs that were sung, the special. Thank you for the attendance and attention of your people. God, I pray now, Lord, you give us a heart that's more hungry and more thirsty for you. God, that we'd be clear tonight in our mind. God, our hearts, dear God, will be clear of conscience and of anything and everything, God, that would draw us away from you. Lord, that we'll not give place to the devil tonight. God, we resist him and he'll flee from us. God, I pray, Father, that you give us your mind and your heart. God, help us to understand it clearly, Father, what you're trying to say right here. In the conversation that you and Abraham had, God, may we be able to apply that in the day in which we live. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we find a conversation, we find some communication going on between Abraham and God, the Lord. And the Lord has spoken to Abraham concerning the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I really think that is kind of odd, don't you think, that there would be a cry that would be going up on the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so you think about that for just a moment, how the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, it reached heaven. I wonder tonight if the wickedness of America is reaching heaven. I wonder tonight if the wickedness of this world in which we live is reaching heaven tonight. I wonder if the sin that you and I have committed and are committing is reaching heaven tonight. It kind of gives me a thought and kind of gives me a picture that even in our wrong and even in our evil days, that there is a cry that goes up unto the Lord with our sin. Now we know tonight that He sees us and He's with us and He walks along with us and He's touched with our infirmities, and we know those things. But tonight on the aspect of sin, it went forth into heaven. I'll think about Jonah tonight, and if you would just quickly keep your place there in Genesis, but Jonah and chapter 3, if you would turn there with me for just a moment, I want you to kind of notice on the other end, on the other side of this, about another cry that went up. And Jonah chapter 3 here tonight, and look there in verse 5. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least. And for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and rose from his throne, and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh the decree of the king of the nobles, saying, let neither be nor beast, man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with a sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will return and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did, and he did not. So we find that there was a cry of sin, but then we find there's a cry of righteousness. And God heard both of those, and he responded in different ways. Back into Genesis chapter 18, I want you to notice that Sodom and Gomorrah's cry. It tells us in verse 20 and 21 that cry, it came unto the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Now, I want you to notice about this cry. The Bible tells us as well in chapter 19, verse 13, it says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." We find that this cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, the wickedness of it, the sinfulness of it, it wasn't just in a locale where it was just happening in Sodom and Gomorrah, but all that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah was reaching heaven. And what was reaching heaven, according to the Scripture, it was great. It was great. It wasn't something little. It wasn't something small. It wasn't something that was very unknown or very just very, very weak. It was great. He says it was there in verse 20, it is great. Verse 13, it says it was waxing great. We find that not only was this Sodom and Gomorrah cry great, for it reached heaven, but it was grievous. He said in verse 21, because their sin was very grievous. It was so grievous that it moved God. That it moved God. So the cry, if you can think of the cry of the sin that was reaching up to heaven, and then God was moved because the sin was so grievous, but then, thirdly, the sin was growing. He says in chapter 19, verse 13, the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And so this sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was great and grievous, but it was growing. It was in the place of increasing. It was in the place of increasing of the cry because the increasing of the sin. It was getting more grievous. It was getting greater. It was going faster. It was increasing. Now, what was it in Sodom and Gomorrah that the Bible says that it was great, that it was grievous, and that it was growing? I know that many say, well, it's homosexuality. Which we could find that there. There's many other things that we could throw out tonight. But let me give you four things that reached heaven tonight that will move God, that will bring a growing, and it will bring a destruction upon a city, or bring upon a land, or bring upon a nation. The first thing I noticed about Genesis, about Sodom and Gomorrah, that their sin was with force. In other words, they wasn't out there sinning and just kind of enjoying it, kind of taking it easy, kind of sinning here a little and sinning there a little. No, it was a sin with force. I mean, it was something that was done with a fervency. Look in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 13. Genesis 13 and verse 13. The Bible says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." That word exceedingly there, it means that it was with a much, it was with might, it was with abundance, it was with great degree, it was with a fervency. Those men of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were, yes, wicked, and yes, they were sinners, but they were sinning exceedingly. I mean, they were moving quick. They were moving hard. They were moving fast. I mean, it was one above another. It was sin on top of a sin. It was a sin of great force. I mean, when you look at those people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wasn't sinning to take off a week. They were sinning, and then another sin, and then another sin, and then another sin, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and they were going on, going on, going on. And the Bible said that their sin was exceedingly. That's what God looked at and said, that's great.
That's grievous. And that's what's growing. Is that sin was birthing sin. And sin was making and creating sin. And sin was done with force tonight.
Number two, I noticed the second thing concerning about the Sodom and Gomorrah cry was that sin was with force, but sin was without fear. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 3 and look in verse 9. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. If you want to know about a subject of the Bible, you study the Bible. You'll look through the Scriptures and find how the Scripture will explain itself. The Scripture will be upon the Scripture, line upon line and precept upon precept. You'll find that we don't need someone to tell us what the Bible says. The Bible will tell us what the Bible says. And here in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, they have rewarded evil unto themselves." What is he saying here? He's saying that these people of Sodom, they sinned without fear. I mean, they announced their sin. They pronounced their sin. They stood boldly. They stood out. Whatever was opposite of the law, whatever was opposite of morality, whatever was opposite of what they've been told and been taught, whatever they said they couldn't do, they did. I mean, they did it without fear. I mean, they went around pronouncing who they were and what they are. I mean, they done it out in public. They done it out in the square. They done it before people. They done it before children. They didn't have no fear in any kind of way. They did not hide it. There was no secrets with their sin. There was no shame with their sin. There was no concealing of their sin. Hey, friend, they were wide open. They were wide out. And friend, if you talk to them about it, they had no shame, no guilt, no concealing, no secret. Yes, I sin, and yes, I'll do it again, and yes, here I do it over and over and over, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, whether you think it's good, whether you think it's bad, whether you're offended or whether you're not offended, it don't matter to me. I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin without fear. That's what he's saying. Do y'all not see that somehow, some way that our country has kind of come to this place? Was there a sin without tonight, with force? Without any type of fear, without any type of repercussions, whatever family might think, whatever embarrassing that may be, whatever shame it may bring on their name, whatever it may cause them to go through tonight, it doesn't matter. Sin without fear. Sin with force. But then thirdly, I noticed, sin without fault. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 references the Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible talks about sin without fault. Look what it says. It says chapter 23 verse 14. He says, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah." What's Jeremiah saying to you and I tonight? He's saying that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah was a people that sinned without faith, without fault. In other words, those that were evildoers, they strengthened their hands. Those that went out there and did wrong, those that went out there and opposed the law, those that were just an abomination unto God, they just wrapped their arms around them. They said, "That's okay. Everybody has a right to be what they want to be. Everybody can love whom they want to love. Anybody can marry who they want to marry. If you want to go out and get drunk and run naked, that's your business. Just leave them alone." And then when they see them, they strengthen them. They encourage them. They tell them, sin is not so sinful. Listen, everybody else has the problem. You don't have the problem. You just live your life like you want to. You just do as you please. You do whatever feels good to you. That's what they say. That's what they said then. That's what they're saying today. So there's a sin without fault. sin without fault. And then the second part of that scripture is saying that they would not turn from their wickedness. In other words, they didn't warn or rebuke anybody. I mean, the day of Jeremiah was as a day in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no warnings. No warnings. You know, today we're scared to tell our children and warn our children of sin. Today we're scared to rebuke our children and we rebuke our friends and rebuke our family members. Somehow, some way, we got in the mindset, as Sodom and Gomorrah did, that we can't correct nobody, that we can't tell somebody that they're doing wrong and they're living wrong. We can't bother them anymore with that. We just got to let them be. We got to let them do. We got to let them go. And friend, that's what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. And those people never returned. Those people never repented. Those people never said we did wrong. Those people never said I was at fault. They never said anything about their sin and about the ugliness and the vileness of it and the depravity of it. And they went right on in their lives and they did it without fault. So that was sin without fault. Oh, don't we live in that day? We live in a day today where you can't, well, we're not warning. We're not telling anybody anymore because we say, well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. That's exactly what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, they're not going to repent anyhow. They're not going to quit what they're going to do. You know, they think we're old-fashioned anyway. Hey, when we call good evil and evil good. I mean, you know, tonight we find a place in a place where we call America. There's nothing evil. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing right. Everything is just at your suggestion. Whatever you think is right is right. Whatever you think is wrong is wrong. There's no absolutes anymore. And friend, that's exactly what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. People were strengthening those of evildoers tonight. Oh, be careful, dear children of God, of saying something that's evil and making it good. Be careful, O child of God, having pleasure in those things that are not worthy of heaven tonight. But be careful tonight to embrace and to say it's okay and to say it's all right for things that are evil and wicked before God. Be careful. That's the way it was in Sodom and Gomorrah's day. That's why God said it was great. That's why He said it was grievous. That's why He said it was growing. And they would not repent nor return. Secondly, tonight I want you to notice Sodom and Gomorrah's not only cry, but I want you to know Sodom and Gomorrah's condemnation. Look there back into our text in Genesis chapter 18. I noticed tonight there was a conversation that was taking place between Abraham and the Lord. And this conversation went on for just a time. Abraham being the man that he was, and the Lord being the holy God that he was, we find that there was a few things that was talked about. And the one question was asked in verse 23, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And we understand the answer is no. But can I say tonight, as we look at verses 24 down to verse 33, we're going to find a conversation that God is saying to Abraham, as Abraham presents to him, if there are, like verse 26, if there are 50 righteous within the city, will you, verse 25, will you destroy it? You know, tonight, he went and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that because we read the book. Can I say tonight, it wasn't because of the presence of sin, but it was because of the absence of righteousness. You got that? You need to write that down. It wasn't because of the presence of sin that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Somebody said he destroyed it because of homosexuality. No! It wasn't because of any sin. It wasn't because of a certain sin. It wasn't because of the presence of sin. There's presence of sin right now in America. There's presence of sin right now in some of our lives. Why don't He just destroy us? It wasn't the presence of sin tonight. It was the absence of righteousness. You say, what can I do in our society today? What can I do in my home tonight? What can I do in my church tonight? What can I do in my family tonight? Live righteous. Because God tonight is not going to destroy because of the presence of sin. He will destroy because of the absence of righteousness. Friend, you now have to make a choice tonight to live right. To live a right life. Look what goes on here. I want you to notice tonight the reason why there was condemnation with Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was a lack of spirituality. Verse 26, he said, I will spare. Verse 28, he said, I will not destroy. Verse 29, he says, I will not do it. Verse 30, he says, I will not do it. Verse 31, he says, I will not destroy. Verse 32, I will not destroy. Now, what is he saying? Well, verse 32, he says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak, yea, but this once. Preadventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. No, 10 what? 10 righteous people. So God is saying, yes, that grievous and great and growing sin is coming up to heaven and it's in my face. But I will not destroy it. I will spare it if there's just 10 righteous. So God wasn't going to destroy it because of the sin. He was now saying to him, if you give me a 10 righteous, I won't do it. But he did it. Why? Because there wasn't 10 that were righteous. What does it mean to be righteous tonight? It means to be just and clean and right and moral. It means walking with God. It means following the Spirit. It means obeying the Word. It means telling the truth. It means standing for right and for the test. What does it mean to be righteous? Read it one more time. To be just and clean and right before God. That's what the righteous are. How does that work out? How do you get that going? What does that mean? That means walking with God. It means following the Spirit. It means obeying His Word. It means telling the truth. It means tonight standing the test. This means you're righteous tonight. This means tonight that the destruction and the condemnation of the Lord, He said if there was 10 people just like you in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy it. Can you imagine that? 10 people just like you? You and I, if 10 of us tonight was in Sodom and Gomorrah back then, He wouldn't have destroyed it. That's pretty powerful to me. So there was a lack of spirituality. Number two, because there was a lack of spirituality in Sodom and Gomorrah, there was a little morality there. You see, America tonight is not immoral because of our flesh. We're immoral because we're not spiritual. There's a day when America was based and built upon righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And there was a day when this nation was exalted. A day when this nation was born and built and based upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the Word of God tonight. And it was where the church and the clergy was filtrated and filled in, side of the politics of our country. We find that righteousness ruled and the Word of God reigned in the hearts of people. And because of the spirituality of America, there was a little morality. A little immorality. Because there's some that wasn't saved. And they're full of immorality. But those that were saved, I mean, can you just think of it for just a moment? We have the White House with people in the White House who were saved. They were using the Bible. They were commanding and demanding the cities to teach the Bible in the schools. And as you get to school, somebody would pray. Somebody would read the Bible. Somebody would have a devotion. And then when you get home, mom and daddy would sit side on private time with you. And you'd have a daily devotion with the Bible, with the children. And so you have a country that's promoting the Bible. You have a school system that's promoting the Bible. You have a home system promoting the Bible. You got the churches promoting the Bible. Hey, you got friends and neighbors that are promoting the Bible, and you'll find everywhere you go there's the Bible. I promise you there was a little immorality within that. But you throw away righteousness, you set aside spirituality, you move it out, and now you got a whole lot of immorality. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's what's happening to America. Because people refuse just to be righteous anymore. It's just too much work. It just takes too much of life to be clean with God. It just takes too much humility. It takes too much submission to admit when you're wrong. You know how hard it is to tell somebody that you're wrong? You know how hard it is today to get up and to do right? To not watch the shows that you're not supposed to watch? To not listen to the music you're not supposed to listen to? To not be around the people you're not supposed to be around? To do the things that you ought to be doing? Laying aside anger and wrath and bitterness and jealousy and envy and putting on the vows of mercy and putting on the loving kindness of God and letting the Spirit of God work through you and work on you? See, these things tonight will bring a morality. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, because there was not even 10 righteous, the place was full of immorality. That's what's wrong with America. America wants to kick out the church. America wants to get rid of a preacher such as me. They want us to get rid of a church such as this tonight. And they want us to get out of town. They want us to fold up. They want us to go away. They want us to disappear tonight. Oh, but I'm telling you tonight, if there wasn't just a remnant, then we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It says there in Isaiah chapter 1. I'm just saying tonight, they need the church more than they think they need us.
That's right.
Because we know when church is lifted, when the church is raptured, when the church is snatched, 7 years of tribulation, they're going to be begging for the church. The only thing restraining the wrath of God tonight is you and I. Oh, listen tonight, we need to put that on our shelf. We need to put that on our shelf to know that you and I is holding back the wrath of God. And you and I that hold back the wrath of God need to learn that we've got to live righteous. It is vital for the existence of this church. It's vital for the existence of your home. It's vital for the existence of this country. You say, well, this election's going to tell it all. Either we're going to go for another 4 years of the way that we're going towards the Obama and all that mindset, or we're going to go towards the Trump, and we're going to head in that direction. And so it's all going to be up to Trump. It's all going to be up to Hillary. No, tonight it's all up to you and I. If God would make an examination of America, some prophet that was his tonight, he'd say, listen, I'm going to destroy America. He'd say, God, will you destroy it with 10 righteous? I wonder if he could find 10. He tells us tonight before he comes, he's going to come and the question is asked, will he find faith? On his second coming, the question is asked, will he find faith? We find apostasy is running rapid through our country. We find that people that are turning their back on Christ and turning their back on the church. We're finding people that were long-time members and they believed a long time and now they don't believe any longer. Oh, they held convictions and they held within their heart great truths. Today they've waxed. Today they've gone to the wayside. I wonder tonight if Glory Baptist Church can stay until Jesus comes. If we can stay righteous, church, we can help the immorality. Oh, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, though? It was full or little of morality. I want you to look at chapter 19 in verse 5. He says, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them. That's a homosexual at heart. That's a sin at heart. They wanted these men so they could know them. That's a sexual relationship term. They didn't want to know them by asking where they come from and where they work and how what they eat and where you live and where you come from. No, they wanted to know them sexually. That's pretty immoral. Don't you think? Not only were they homosexual at heart or sin at heart, but in verse 8 shows they were abused at will. He says, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and you do ye to them as good is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Lot's offering his two virgin children. That's abuse. At will. He's saying, "Hey guys, I know you want these other men because you're lusting after men, but how about two women?" What? Women? Don't you understand? We're men. We want men. He said, "Man, listen, these two women are my daughters, and you can do whatsoever you will with them." I like to slap Lot right in the face. But you know, that's the day we live today. Men are giving over their daughters. Yeah. Men are giving over. Marry who you want to marry. Do what you want to do. Go out when you want to go out. Do what you have to do. Oh, we find that this little morality, I mean, giving over their daughters, they're giving over their children today. I mean, they're giving them away. They're letting the devil have them. They're letting TV watch over them. They're letting the internet, they're letting these video games teach them and guide them and learn them. Hey, the people today of America have given their children over. That's an abuse. Just like it happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Little morality. Verse 9, their desire at demand, he says, and they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fella came into sojourn. He met, will needs to be judged. Now will we deal worse with thee than with him." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. I mean, their desire was at demand. I mean, they were breaking the door. I mean, listen, they told no. They didn't accept that. They said, "Well, take my daughters." They didn't accept that. And now they're breaking down the door. That's desire at demand. Whatever I desire, I demand. If I want to have a relationship with that woman, whether she wants me to have one or not, I will. Whether I want to take a drug, whether I want to drink and drive, whether I want to rob a store, whether I want to go kill somebody, that's what I'll do. Because that's what I desire. Friend, that's where we are. That's where they were. Morality. Little morality. Oh, there was sin at heart, abuse at will, desire at demand, filthy lifestyles. I'll turn there for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, gives us another thought concerning the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked." That's what vexed the heart of Lot every single day, it says. Every day there was filthy conversation, filthy lifestyles, filthy alternative style of life, filthy opposite of nature lifestyles. Whatever mom and daddy taught, whatever the synagogue has given, whatever God has said, that's out the door now. The lifestyle was filthy. Filthy lifestyles. I mean, friend, listen, tonight, that's exactly where the morality is today. Sin is at heart. Abuse is at will. There's so much abuse going on today, it's unbelievable. Abuse. It used to be men abusing women, but now we got men abusing women and women abusing men. And now we've got children abusing parents. And now we've got students abusing teachers. And now we've got the citizens abusing the police. Friend, listen, we are talking about a place of immorality. How did we get there? We got there because of no spirituality. That's why. When there's no righteousness, there'll be immorality. We find tonight, thirdly, that in Jude chapter 7, we find flesh freestyle. Not only filthy lifestyle, but flesh freestyle. Jude is a very small little book, but boy, it has a lot of power in it. The Bible says in Jude 7, right there before Revelation, it says this, it said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Giving themselves over to fornication. That means they just wasn't in it. It was in them. It says, and going after strange flesh. I mean, their flesh was at freestyle. I mean, it was wide open. Whatever the flesh desired. Whatever the flesh wanted. Whatever the flesh had a craving for. It's wide open. You do as you please. Immorality. We find here in Sodom and Gomorrah that there was a lack of spirituality. There was a little immorality. But then thirdly tonight, I noticed there was no possibility of God's grace or God's mercy. When God said, if there's 10 that are righteous, I will spare it. I will not destroy it. And He did not find 10. So now there's no possibility of any grace or any mercy. So the decision was made. The Bible says in verse 33, after Abraham and God and the Lord had this discussion, the Lord said, if there's 5, I won't destroy it for 10's sake. Verse 33 said, and the Lord went His way. So the decision was made now. We don't have 10, Abraham. So now I've made my decision. And then the demand was given. Look at verse 19, verse 13. He said, this is the angel speaking, for we will destroy this place. The last part of that scripture. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So now it was a decision made in verse 33 to destroy it. But now the demand came and was given to destroy it. So now the order has been done. The very King of Kings has made an order, and it says, destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why, Lord? Because of there's no 10 righteous people there. And because there's no righteousness, it becomes very immoral. And after immorality comes destruction came. And this place called America is headed for destruction. Because God don't like us anymore. Because God's grace has been cut off from us. Because God's mercy is no longer available. No! Because of God's people who don't want to live righteous any longer. Which causes the whole world to live immoral. And because of immorality brings destruction. That's why. Sodom and Gomorrah just wasn't destroyed overnight. It was destroyed because the little of righteousness and the little of morality, and a whole lot of immorality. Chapter 19, verse 24. The Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. So where did it come from? It came from heaven. It rained. It didn't sprinkle. It didn't come down softly. It didn't come down every once in a while. It came down in a rain. When God said He's going to destroy, He is going to destroy. He's going to send brimstone and fire, and it came from the Lord. The cities were overcome. Look at verse 25. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. Every city was burned up. Every inhabitant was burned up. And that which grew upon the ground, every tree, every flower, every vegetable, everything that grew is now dead. The cities were overcome. The inhabitants were burned. The smoke went up. As you look there in that verse 28, he says, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass that God destroyed the cities of the plain. So what does it look like when God brings destruction or when God brings judgment upon a place? Well, we see that in Amos chapter 4. Let me look that with you for you. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 11. This is some interesting scripture. In Amos chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. You know what Sodom and Gomorrah looked like? You know what the inhabitants looked like? They were like a smoke, like a brand, a firebrand, according to verse 11, a firebrand plucked out of the burning. It was scorched, it was charred, and it was blackened. That's what no righteousness will bring, and that's what immorality will cause, and that's what destruction will do. God's clear about this. God, help us to live righteous in our own world, in our own lives. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 9. Zephaniah, which is another minor prophet, I'll read this to you. The Bible says there in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles, of salt pits, and perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. What's that going to look like? That's going to look like just desert. It'll look like a salt pit. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23, again, gives a description about what it looks like when God's destruction comes. Deuteronomy 29, verse 23, as the Scripture is, again, clear in what the Lord's trying to tell us about Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, and the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt, and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, church, if you go to Sodom and Gomorrah today, you're going to have to go and look at the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And under the Dead Sea is sulfur, salt, brimstone. You know, you can't go in the Dead Sea. There's nothing in the Dead Sea that lives. You can't grow nothing in the Dead Sea. Everything that goes in the Dead Sea dies. The salt content is so high that it eat up a boat. You could go in the Dead Sea and you'll float. You can't even go underwater in the Dead Sea. I was in it. I went there, man. We floated around. We tried to go under. You couldn't go under. Boats that were there were just getting eaten up by the salt. Nothing of vegetable, nothing of greenery, nothing of beauty, nothing of delight, nothing of all that would bring you to say, oh man, God, a God of excellence. No, it's death and doom and ugly and without life. That's what God brings. Why? Because of the lack of spirituality. Because of the little morality. And God brings destruction. We can make a difference, church, if you and I, on a daily basis, just live a righteous life. Our family don't have to go through this. Our church don't have to go through this. Our country don't have to go through this. You say, Brother Larry, come on now. You say that my little old life's going to make a difference? Well, in Sodom and Gomorrah, if they could just find 10. That kind of brings it to perspective, don't it? You say there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people, Sodom and Gomorrah, that died. Yeah, why'd they die? Because they couldn't find 10. Don't tell me you're not important. There's more than 10 in here that loves God, that wants to live a righteous life tonight. It ought to encourage us tonight. It ought to move us tonight to be more what God would have us to be. I think about the days of Noah. I think about the days of Noah. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Is that right? He preached 120 years of righteousness. Not one convert. Not one follower. So they were spiritually depraved, right? There was no spiritual. There was no righteousness. There was none out there at all that was saying, yes, you're right, Noah. God is going to judge. And sin is wicked before God. And God is right and we're wrong. We repent. Not one. So it was spiritually first depraved. And secondly, it was morally depleted. You study what it says out there in Genesis about Noah's day. Man, they were continually evil. I mean, even in the thought of the imagination. Violence. They corrupted the whole world. So there were no righteousness, and it brought to no morality. And then what brought destruction? He sent the flood. See how that works? No righteousness, no morality, destruction. Righteousness, morality, no destruction. That's how God works. Sodom and Gomorrah, lastly, in this commentary, what is it saying tonight? Well, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we find tonight the commentary of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God even mention Sodom and Gomorrah? Why are we still even talking about that? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, or verse 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. See, God will destroy. But He left Sodom and Gomorrah in the Word of God for you and I today to see it as an example of living ungodly. We find ungodly people, we find ungodly cities, and we find an ungodly world, and it was destroyed in Noah's day, and it was destroyed in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, called the days of Lot. God will destroy. If you don't think America will be destroyed, friend, it won't be because of Trump. It won't be because of Hillary. It won't be because of our weaponry. It won't be because of our finances of being $20 trillion in the negative and all this kind of stuff in the stock market. And it won't be because of our goods not any good. It won't be because of our manufacturing and all of our industrial. It's going to be because of righteousness. That's one. He will destroy. But then God will also deliver. Look there in verse 7. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I'm not going to go back to Genesis for the time, but Genesis 19 verse 12 through 22 tells us that these men came to Lot and said, Lot, the Lord has sent us to destroy. You need to get up and get out. You see, God wasn't going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with one righteous. Now, he was a sorry righteous fellow, but he'll righteous. And so he said, okay, Lot, go and get your family. Lot goes, tells his family, his children, they laugh at him. They mock at him. Because he ain't never lived God yet. So they laughed at him. Oh, yeah. Lot, they said, don't turn back. Lot's wife turned back. She became a pillar of salt. Right? Lot. They're telling Lot, get out of here. He's messing around and kind of going slow and kind of just not doing anything. He says, we're fixing to destroy these cities, but we need you to get out. And friend, that's what God does. God won't destroy America if there's a righteous in here. God won't destroy that. He don't destroy the righteous with the wicked. So he had to get Lot out of here. You and I tonight, the only saving of this country is God's people to live righteous tonight. I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. I'm crying with you. That me and you can do our part for our country, for our church, for our community, for our family tonight. And that we don't give up, and we don't let go, and we don't drop our convictions, and we don't turn back to the world, and we don't allow the devil to deceive us and distract us. But we look to God in a focus, and we look at the Word of God as a guidance, and we follow the Spirit of God and say, God, we're going to live a righteous life. And God will bless this church. God will bless your home. God will bless your marriage. And God bless the United States of America. This is real to me. I'm watching my children. I'm watching others' children. I'm watching other people that are headed straight to the world, and the world has got them and gripped them and is choking them. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. They're looking for hope. And there's nothing out there. We've got it in Christ Jesus tonight. And friend, we've got to live righteous. If it takes 50 years of living righteous. Live 50 years and maybe they look and see. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Oh, stay. God will deliver. And ultimately, friend, that's why the rapture will take place before the tribulation period. Because you and I, according to the Bible, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'll read this to you because I've got to hurry. I'm always hurrying. Get tired of hurrying. Y'all hurrying, I'm hurrying, everybody's hurrying. The Bible says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we're going to be raptured. Because God is not going to destroy the righteous. Hallelujah, glory to God. Last, God will not delay. Turn your Bibles lastly to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Look at verse 26. It says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah, did they eat and they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone upon from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. As it was in Sodom, shall it be in this world when Jesus comes. Hold out, church. Stay strong. Stay. Don't be deceived. Stay on your Bible. Stay on your knees. Stay in your church. Stay living right. It don't matter if nobody else is. It don't matter if everybody else is going wild. You stay with God. You stick with the Word. If everybody's cutting out, if everybody's shutting off, if everybody's going a different direction, you stay. You hold on. Because we, tonight, are waiting for the Lord. And as it was in the days of Noah and it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. He's coming. He's coming tonight. And friend, we tried to show you that out of Sodom and Gomorrah, what made that destruction. And we see it today. Stay righteous. Stay righteous. I didn't say stay good. Stay righteous. Stay righteous. The Bible says, one of the great verses there is concerning righteous and about what God says to righteous and about righteous people. He talks about that the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous and His ears are opened unto their prayer. Oh, stay righteous. Amen. As we stand to our feet tonight. heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Tonight, I just wanted to preach a message just to encourage you. Yes, Jesus is coming. And yes, it looks like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Oh, but stay righteous. Stay righteous. Stay living, trusting, loving God. Yeah. Oh, the rapture may just happen at any time. Wouldn't that be good? I sure like to go the way of the clouds rather than the way of the clouds. I like to go all of us at one time. I love you, church. I sure like to go to heaven with you at one time. Wouldn't that be good? We just have a flight to heaven. I mean, listen, I mean, that would be such a wonderful ride. I mean, can you just imagine the dead in Christ shall rise first and those that are remaining shall be caught up in the air with Him in the twinkling of an eye. Woo! Oh, stay righteous. Stay clean. Stay right.